Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Cher.
How are you doing?
I'm waking up.
Trying to get my talking voice going again.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Denny's sitting here, too. We're just drinking our smoothie.
Oh, I miss my... I was just looking at the Green for Life book again. I haven't had a smoothie in a few days, and I'm like, oh, gosh. How did this happen?
Well, I don't have any source close by for greens, and I'm going, oh, shoot, I'm going to be out of greens. A little bit of watercress and cabbage is all that I had left to pick through the watercress. And, well, yesterday I was outside getting a little bit of sunshine, and I walked over towards where the garden was, and shoot, I looked down and I forgot about the edible wild.
Oh, yeah.
We're growing all over the place.
Oh, wow.
What time?
Oh, nice.
Well, you drank it, so. In the garden you sprayed it?
Yeah. Not out in the middle of the garden.
Well, we just may have had our pesticide loading in. You won't laugh. Okay, what I saw on TV last night.
Oh, dear.
Told you not to spray anything out there in the garden.
Just along the fence line.
Well, I wasn't... You told... Okay, well, anyway, you got to stay away from the garden.
Nancy has arrived.
Spray around the driveway or the bank or any of that, you said. Or behind the...
Yeah.
Hi, Nancy. Is that Nancy? I heard...
I didn't hear.
Anyway.
Arguing because he told me where he wasn't going to spray, and he did, so.
Well, I made the last one. I did make one on Sunday, but I had a little broccoli left. I had a few stalks of asparagus. I had some lettuce. I kind of cleaned up everything. A little bit of, what else did I put in there? It turned out really, really good. I was surprised. Like, I had some celery in there, too. And I put an apple and a half a banana. Cinnamon. It was good. And a little body balance, you know. So, oh, good. It hasn't been that many days. Okay. I guess yesterday seemed like an eternity. Some days are like that.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you so much for doing my calls.
Yeah, it sounds so good to hear your voice.
Thanks.
Yay. Things are going well?
Things are going.
Good. Good, good.
What's going on with these calls?
Well, this is it.
This is the new permanent number, sort of?
For now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think, Char, are you working on another...
My what?
Are you working on another phone number for this, or?
Yes, because mine is not allowing me to do anything that I could normally do to be able to have, you know, a guest speaker on and not have people interrupted, and I read the instructions, and it's the same company, but evidently I got a different option, so I have to go back and redo the whole thing, so.
Well, Mary Lou just called me right after I dialed in and said she couldn't get in yesterday and kept getting busy today. But the circuits are busy, so I told her to call me back if she can't get in and I'll relay her, but apparently some people may be having trouble.
Ah. Well, I haven't had any trouble with the line once I got the number figured out and all that, but I don't, I don't know.
I got right in just now, so I don't know.
Mine's run right through. There hasn't been a problem with that part of it, but I was concerned on. I just want to get something set that, you know, is reliable and they're not going out of business or anything.
Right. That would be helpful, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And it's easy to operate and do the parts that we want to be able to do, so.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, Nancy, did you have some stuff that you wanted to, do you want to do the call this morning? Or?
I think I can, thank you.
Well,
who else is on the line? Do we know?
No. They don't see.
Oh, so you can't see how many are on or anything?
No.
Okay.
I can't get any buttons to function on my end.
That's Mary Lou. I'll be right back. I'm going to relay her in. Okay, can somebody
okay.
Can you talk? Hold on.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, definitely got to make a change here.
Yeah. Not like it was before. I do like the ability to check, you know, and see who's there too, how many.
Yeah, it makes it much easier for us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. But the breaking in, too.
Anytime you make a change, right?
Yeah. Those changes.
That's one thing we can count on, can't we? Especially in this business. We get all kinds of changes.
Oh, boy.
Keeps us agile in the brain, I think.
In the brain. Especially in the brain for me.
So it's just the three of us so far? Wow.
It'll say, when someone comes in, it'll say, you know, we have to say your name. It'll go like, Nancy has arrived.
Oh, gee. What a welcome.
Yeah.
Or else you can just hit the pound sign and it'll let you come in.
Well, that was really good. I think she may have been trying the wrong phone number, but if she calls me once more, then I'll relay her.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going on with her.
Yeah.
You have HSI reports, Health Science Institute.
No.
I think I do. Has arrived.
Somebody arrived. Somebody just joined us?
I got in. Thank
God.
Okay. I don't understand what, but that number I've been calling for weeks is no longer working. So I guess that's what it was.
Okay.
Thanks.
What were you talking about the HSI show?
Oh, they just send out reports. They've got advertisements for products attached, and so I don't, you know, watch a lot of it, but they sent one out on vitamin D, and it says the researchers at the Cleveland Clinic Foundation, Bone Clinic, recruited 17 subjects who had remained on vitamin D deficient, had remained vitamin D deficient even after being treated for their deficiency. For 2 to 3 months, each student began taking their vitamin D supplements with the largest meal of the day. Dosage levels varied from 1,000 to 50,000.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a big amount.
Sure is.
Some of them are prescribed at that amount, I know.
Yeah.
Results overall absorption of the vitamin was improved, and the blood levels of D increased by more than 50%. I always take my vitamin D with other supplements first thing in the morning, but starting today, it's going to be part of my lunchtime routine. So simple.
That's interesting that they do it with the largest meal.
Mm-hmm. The last line is so simple, but even the enormous, given the enormous importance of vitamin D in fighting cancer, improving heart health, and preventing type 2 diabetes, this little study may prove to be a very big deal.
Wow. Also, if you remember, if they're doing this at the clinic, then it's Cleveland, and we don't get sunshine. eight months of the year, so you have to make up for 8 months of no sunshine. So you can't get your D during that time here, naturally.
So that must be why they prescribe higher doses then for a period of time.
That's a huge amount, though.
Yeah.
That's been really deficient.
But then they check the blood level.
Dinner really is my largest meal, so even though it's not supposed to be, it ends up being.
We're gradually getting it there. It's getting smaller and smaller, and I'm just making it a little simpler.
Yeah. It was.
We're pretty much down to 2 meals a day, so. And if Denny doesn't get his behind in here, I just go ahead and eat anyway.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you're eating supper earlier?
Yes.
Whoa, that's a huge one.
Yeah, and you know, it'll be a challenge to stay consistent.
You're still in New York?
Yes, we're getting unpacking. The porch is right outside the door. I'm moving stuff in, so.
Yeah. There was a blurb on the news one day last week about chia seeds that have been around for like thousands of years, and the health benefits that they have found with them, from blood pressure to cholesterol to heart to cancer. The list went on. I love them. We're going through the bags, which I poured inside canisters, quickly. I'm getting, I think I ordered 10 or 11 the last time, because the more you order, the less expensive it becomes. And, you know, when I get down to the last two, I'm going to order more again and get close. So here we are, plug and cheer again.
So are you putting them in everything then?
They said to put them in everything. And I finally made the brownies. I didn't put them in this time, but I think I will put like a scoop in the next time. And they showed how they puff up when you put liquid with them. Yeah, they might have put them in a cereal. They say I generally put them on my salad. Or if I have, like, if I put apple butter on my toast, I will put it on there. But to put it on something that is going to fly all over the place, I don't do that. Anyway, with the brownies, are you guys still using agave? What's the deal?
I use part agave and part maple syrup. What I did this last time was I used, what was the amount? Because I didn't write it down. I used it calls for a half a cup, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I've got pretty well memorized. I was going to make it up to a third of a cup, and I used part maple syrup and part, a sixth of a cup, half of the third, a sixth of a cup of agave and a sixth of a cup of maple syrup, and then I put half a tablespoon of the weaker form of stevia, powdered stevia in. And when I had one left from the last batch that it had the full half cup of sweetener in it. It was agave then. And I tasted that one against the recent batch that I just gave you the proportions on. And I could tell it wasn't as sweet. And I thought, this tastes really blah. Well, when I got away from the other batch, it tasted fine. Denny didn't even know the difference.
Uh-huh.
He said, oh, these are really good.
I thought
you
were rich.
I'm going, oh, okay. Well, I can just cut down that much more. But I will go, you need the liquid, you know, for part of it in there.
Right.
In using it. So, and I'm honey is too strong a flavor for me. I know I could taste the difference if I put that.
They were very rich and very moist. There was a little bit of an aftertaste, and I'm not sure what that's from.
Huh.
You don't notice that?
No, I haven't. I know. Not anybody comment on an aftertaste.
Really?
No.
Even my daughter mentioned that, and I don't know why.
Huh.
Interestingly, Marty's physical therapist is from Lebanon. And she was here yesterday, and I had made them on Saturday, so I said, here, I want you to taste something. She liked them. She could not believe, or she said, there are eggs in here, right? I said, no. I said, what else do you think? She couldn't believe they're black beans. And tofu. She said, what are you using instead of, you know, shortening? I said, I don't know. So I showed her the recipe, gave her two to go. She was the most excited about them of anybody who tasted them.
What I'm going to do the next time, I was trying to think what I would come up with. I'm going through my catalog because I'm picking up supplies in Duper, Oregon from Azure Standard, which I haven't had any, you know, connection with since we've been back here. instead of going through Michigan, that's what I decided now that I've got all my cashews for the next year. Anyway, what I'm going to do is try the brown rice syrup. Mainly because, well, there's two factors there. One, it's a liquid. It's sweet. It's not quite as sweet as honey. I don't know that it's as sweet even as agave. But I know the reaction on the body when I went back and started thinking about what I had learned previously about it. There's no question. There's no question mark on brown rice syrup, especially if you can get it organic. And the price on that relative to maple syrup is a fraction. It's just not even probably a third or a fourth the cost of maple syrup.
And if it'll do the same thing and have yet a better reaction on the body, that's what I want to accomplish.
Okay. I know.
So I can let you know on that. We go through quite a few of them because Denny hands them out, and there's always people coming through here. So
I put in the chips and the nuts and stirred it up with the food processor all at once, which broke those up a little bit too, just because I did it that way rather than just stirring it in. But they were good. I mean, Marty was so excited I baked because it's been, we can't remember how many years it's been, a really long time I don't bake because I don't want it in the house. But this was good. And, you know, not the kind of thing that you keep going back to eat either.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Do you feel like you've got to go back and have another one, a third one?
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very richly chocolate, but it didn't call me. Has anybody tried them frozen? I'll bet they're delish.
I've got some in a couple of them in the freezer. I haven't pulled them out yet.
I'll bet they're really good frozen.
Yeah, I'm sure they would be. I like most anything frozen.
Yeah, I'm weekend, but I will put, Jamie does not eat nuts in anything. And he was my first test. And that was the first thing he said, there's nothing here, and he spit it out. And I said, so what do you think of the other taste? That's all he could taste was the nuts. So for Memorial Day, I will take the nuts and just maybe sprinkle them on top or something.
I left when the kids were here and I was making them. I had a request. I said, so with the five of you, do all of you like nuts? Yeah, Grandma, I think they do. And then she looks at me and she goes, why don't you leave them off of one little corner of the pan? Because I always just sprinkle them on top so people can identify that they're in there in case they do have a problem with nuts.
Yeah, they can take them off.
Yeah, and so I just left one corner empty. Well, nobody touched that corner that was empty. So
that's funny. So I put it in, I had bought a Corning, I was looking for an 8x8 pan, and I decided I didn't want one that was Teflon or anything, so I found a Corningware rectangle, square 8x8. So since it's glass, should I lower the temperature 25 degrees?
Or just take it out a little earlier, 3 or 4 minutes. You know, I alter the time on it. Denny likes them drier. I like them fudgier.
These are fudgy.
And so when you just shorten it, and I'll double check, because if you stick down in a, did yours crack on top?
I think so.
A little bit.
Not a lot.
No, but I meant it, you could see some separation.
Yeah.
In the crack, if you stick down in, it will come out wet, and if it's in the dry part, it will come out like it's clean.
Oh.
And so I leave it so it's coming out wet, because they continue to cook a bit after, especially in the glass, they will continue to cook when you take them out. And then I always set them up on a rack so they can get cool. And I think the original recipe had said that to cool them for at least an hour before you cut into them.
Yeah. And they do.
On a rack, or maybe it still says that. I don't remember. But anyway, I've made a few batches.
Right. I was glad they didn't stick to the pan at all.
No, they're good that way.
Did spray it, but no, they did. They didn't. It was great. I did put the toothpick in, and then I actually turned off the oven. I have an electric oven, and, you know, that stays hot for a long time. And I left them in there for, like, another 5 or so minutes and then took them out. But I thought they were good. For some reason, my brand-new sifter would not sift well, and I finally just sifted it over the bowl of the food processor, and everything I had sifted before I put back in the bag, because it ended up that whatever was left in the sifter was what I needed for the batch, so I... A brand new sifter was not working real well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, sometimes I sift so much longer on the whole wheat, like the whole wheat pastry flour, than you ever would on white flour.
It's
down very, 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 very slow in comparison to what you do with the other. So that could be
it. That could be it then, yeah. I found if I hit the sides, it came through easier.
Yes.
I could do in the, you know, it fit right on top of my measuring cup, and by just, you know, pressing the thing to squeeze it through wasn't doing it. But when I put it over the food processor and just, I wanted to empty it before I put it away, that, it had a half, I think it was a half a cup right there. Just by hitting it, you know, that brought it through. So it's not a sifter, it's the flour, okay.
It's a triple sifter or a double sifter?
It's a double.
Double sifter, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be B&B. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, so much for our brownies, huh?
Yeah. Anybody else on the call that wants to say hello? Mary Lou, any questions? Thoughts? Concerns?
Well, I dropped the tackle-loose brownies this week, and I think I probably got all the ingredients, so y'all kind of helped me, but did I quite understand that you were using kind of part of the maple syrup and then part agave on the sweetening? Is that what Char said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I'm just mixing them up because when the agave's gone, I probably won't pick up any more based on what we've picked up. It, you know, even if it's questionable, I don't have to go there. I'm not saying
that it's for sure that. Maple syrup, I'm like you, the maple syrup is pretty expensive, but I'll just go ahead and use the maple syrup then and not put the other in there.
Yeah. So, I used maple syrup before in mine, and they came out fine, and the flavor was really, really good, too. So,
you could probably put a tablespoon in of honey and maple syrup to cut the price a little bit if you wanted. It's not going to make that big of a difference, I would think.
Oh, yeah. I think you can use any combination.
Uh-huh.
I'm just anxious to try the brown rice syrup because I haven't been using it lately. It kind of got pushed in the back of the cupboard. And, you know, with all these different variety of things that we can do, I forgot about it, is all.
I never have. I don't think I've ever seen it. Maybe I haven't looked for it, but I might try it, too.
It turned out that when the nurse called back from the doctor's office, they said, you know, his blood is fine. So that was good. But it's interesting how maybe the drugs will start taking more of a backseat to more natural forms of, quote, medications.
Well, they sure do it on both the doctor's programs, I'll tell you. They, you know, the minute somebody talks about anything related to medications or whatever, it's exercise and diet that's
broad. And they're also stressing that you can't just do it with exercise. I've heard that, you know, more than a few times, too.
Right.
People who think, I'm exercising, I can have this whatever, and I'm still going to lose weight. Well, that's not how it works. Somebody else want to say hello that came on? Well, one other article that I saved from when I was on my sabbatical. This is from May 9th, actually. It's almost a full newspaper page, except for one column on the left. They show a farmer bending down and his looks pretty arid. American farmers' near unlimited use of weed-like Roundup has led to a rapid growth of new superweeds. And the bold headlines say, heavy use of Roundup blamed for growth of new superweeds. Farmers' more toxic response may boost pollution food prices. There is a whole article here. And they, at the very bottom of it, they have four pictures of the country map, and it says where weed killer won't work, and it says wide use of glyphosate, which is what Roundup is, a popular herbicide, has led to the spread of resistant weeds across the country. At least 10 species of resistant weeds have infested millions of acres in more than 22 states since 2000, and the first map is the year 2000, where just California and Delaware, I think it is, or maybe it's very spotty along the East Coast, had number one as far as glyphosate resistant weed species in each state. Then in 2003, and they have six different colors, shadings that they show. And again, California is still the same color, but Ohio jumped to, it looks like, number three from zero before. And a bunch, there are like eight or nine other states that are twos. Then in 2006, 3 years later, Ohio is number six. And in the middle of the country, I don't know what these states are, there's a bunch of fours, and California went up to a three, and much more, many more states. And by 2009, There are 1, 2, 3, 4 states that are number sixes, which is the highest number. California is up to number 5. It's just showing how Roundup is just destroying farmland.
So we're making the problem worse by using it. We're creating more weeds than getting rid of
it. Yeah, it's like using antibiotics and getting these superbugs that they don't know what to do with now.
Is there any way, is that a newspaper article?
Yeah, it is.
Any way you can cut it up and email it to, or fax it to me?
I could fax it to you. And it says
I know a few people that are going to argue with me.
It says the big story is what it's called at the top. For more big coverage, go to cleveland.com business. And so if you might get a bigger article on this, but I can also fax it if you want me to.
Cleveland.
Cleveland.com.
I haven't had good luck finding things there.
Yeah, I know.
Cleveland.com.
/business. And it's May 9th article.
That's very good, Nancy.
Yeah, I read this, you know, came out, and it's like, whoa, what have we been talking about? And, it, of course, who makes Roundup but our favorite Monsanto?
Yeah, Monsanto. Mm-hmm.
You got it.
I had a chiropractor tell me that he was treating more of the doctors, and the doctors were not taking medicine.
How surprising, huh?
Chemical medicines.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what I do, but I was, you know, he said you'd be surprised that the doctors were coming for other and doing alternatives themselves. They're not recommending it probably to patients, but that's exactly what you were indicating there with that, you know, or the.
Yeah.
Well, they don't feel educated on it at this point, and so they don't like to talk about things that they're not, you know, really confident in. But they're hearing enough that they want to try it themselves. That's good.
Uh-huh. Sure, let me know if you don't find it, and I can fax it to you.
Okay.
I've underlined it all for Marty to read, and it just, you know, one paragraph. Monsanto and other agricultural biotech companies are also developing genetically engineered crops resistant to other herbicides. Yeah, just unbelievable.
Monsanto goes on and on and
on. Yes. Yeah. I made a really good dish one night, last week, the week before. Hadn't made pasta in a long time, and I had been making Marty omelets because that's a nice lunch for him, even though I don't support what he's choosing to eat. But and I broke my cardinal rule by doing the veggies on the side for my pasta primavera, but I threw in, oh my gosh, red, green peppers, broccoli, carrots, cauliflower, onion, garlic, and I sauteed all these wonderful veggies in one of our big pans, and then I put them into pasta. It was really good.
Yeah.
It was mostly veggies with some pasta.
Sounds good.
It was. So, anyone else have any questions, thoughts, or concerns? We're getting close to the time.
Good information.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Good to have you back.
Good to have you, boy.
And your voice sounds much stronger.
Well, he's doing good. Just as a closing comment, I was hoping Onita would be on. We got a call. Murray left Saturday for Colorado. He just, you know, tax season was a really hard one for him this year, he said, and he needed to get away, and he was driving out to Colorado, and Marty said, here, take, Marty has a Ford, what does he have, what's that small SUV, whatever it is. And so he took Marty's car and called here Sunday about 5:30. And as soon as I answered the phone, I knew. He totaled the car.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. Is he
hurt? We don't know how he survived it.
Oh, gosh.
The policeman told him had he been in a car, he definitely would have been killed. He started to cough and somehow... Apparently this has happened before. I've never heard about it before. He couldn't see. He's driving. You know, he had just gotten back on the highway after getting gas, and he realized he was going. He was on grass, and then all of a sudden he could see again. And he went. It sounds like I think he said he went over a bridge and had like a 12 or 15 foot drop.
Oh my God!
It ended up that the first thing to hit was the front of the car, and it went rolled onto the side. He somehow got himself out through the sunroof, which he opened. I said, did anyone see this, see it happen? No, he doesn't think so. And when you think about what could have happened, other cars, God, how he survived, I can't imagine. He, you know, he felt strongly that the seatbelt certainly helped him, because otherwise he probably would have gone through the windshield.
No airbag went off or anything?
Not. And, you know, I said that only for front impact, but if the, I don't know. He said it did not. He was unbelievable. He apologized 100 times and so shook. And to try to remain calm while you're talking, it's just...
Oh.
Somebody was watching over him.
Yeah.
And he thought that the car was totaled. It sounds like, in fact, we talked to insurance company several times yesterday, and they said it sounds like it's totaled. The people in Ellsworth, Kansas, wherever that is, were so nice to him. The guy who towed it took him to a motel, picked him up yesterday morning to take him to get a rental car. He's so amazingly, somebody was watching him. It was, and, you know, and the scary thing was, he said, you know, he was here Friday, he took Marty to the doctor, and he stayed and had lunch with Marty and me, and then Saturday, he said, you know, if I was to die today, because he said Sunday, he said, at least I spent the extra time with you and Dad on Friday, and when I was getting ready to leave last night, Leah, his middle child, said, oh, Dad, can't you just read a little bit more? And he stayed an extra half hour, and he said, so that I knew that if I died today, I did what I needed to do.
Oh, boy.
I know. You want to lose weight, go through my last 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. It's 3 weeks today that Marty was in surgery right now.
Wow.
And he's doing well, Nancy?
Yeah, you know, he really is doing nicely, thank you. Yeah. In fact, yesterday the PT was here, and I think we have 15 steps to go upstairs. He went up to his office.
Oh, wow, good.
They had done steps with him in the hospital, so it's not like he hasn't done steps. 15 is a lot of steps. In fact, we've gone out, we have a patio outside of our kitchen slider, which is down 2 steps. And they worked on that last week. We've been out there a couple of times, several times actually. You know, around 1 o'clock, I said, let's go outside and get some knee. And so we go out there for 20 minutes, and he's able to do those steps. But it's the first time he's gone upstairs. It was like, whoa, it looks nice up here again. So, yeah, he's done a few things business-wise that have had to be taken care of. But he's still healing. He still takes it. He still lies down a lot of afternoons, which is good. His leg is swollen from the knee down, but not as bad as it was. And they said to elevate it, you know, when he lies down, which he's been doing. So that helps, but he's doing nicely.
Good.
That's one day at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, awesome.
So,
well, I'm glad to hear that it's over with and he's doing so incredibly well.
He was at an 8 or 9. He was probably at a 15, but he called it an 8 or 9 before the surgery. Now he says he's at a 2 or 3, and I said, wait, are you really in pain? No, it's sore.
It's sore, yeah.
Yeah, his incision is healing beautifully. He sleeps with the power mag. But, yeah, he's doing, he is afraid to switch. In fact, she had him walking just with the cane yesterday. He's afraid to switch to just the cane because of before the surgery, his left leg hurt more than the right leg just because of putting all that pressure on the, quote, good leg. So he's afraid that if he starts to use just the cane, he'll go back to putting more pressure on his left leg and it'll start to hurt more again. So, you know, he's in no hurry to give up the walker, and that's okay.
Yeah, I'd rather see him, you know, super, super confident than
doing it
without.
Yeah, and you know, he's standing up so much straighter. He doesn't even realize how bent over he was before the surgery. He's standing up pretty straight, and my latest thing is he's making marks all over the carpet, and I keep saying, you know what, you got to stop putting so much pressure on your arms. Let your legs do the work now. But now he's doing nicely.
Good.
And hopefully Monday, Tuesday will be the end of Coumadin for him. So.
Another benchmark.
Yep. And he sees the doctor 3 weeks tomorrow. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to believe that it's only 3 weeks. In fact, last week the physical therapist said it's 3 weeks, isn't it? No, it's only two. He's only been home for 2 weeks. In fact, the nurse at the doctor's office last week couldn't believe that he had the surgery on Tuesday and went home on Friday, because most people probably go to, you know, some kind of a rehab center. I didn't realize what I was getting into. It was the first week was tough. I was deluded. But we made it.
You had the background for working with people.
Well, you know, and Mindy said to me before, but Mom, you do everything for him anyway. It's not the same.
Yes.
Not the same. I had no clue what that week was going to be. But, you know, it was basically, once we got through the first week, it was easier. And I would do it again that way. But, you know, now we don't have a car for him to get into easily. My car just won't work unless it's an emergency. We do have a rental. We can rent a car, and hopefully it will be a small SUV, because otherwise, you know, what's the point? So that's my tale of woe. But I appreciate everybody's interest.
Yeah.
You've definitely been on our mind and in our prayers, so.
Thank you. I really appreciate all that. And, he's certainly going to be better than he was. And fortunately, he was able to do it when he did it.
Good.
So, as long as we're past the time and no one has any further questions, I appreciate everybody's support, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Okie dokie.
Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care.
You're welcome.
Very good.